have one more verse of Scripture that I'd like to share with you. Probably one of the most familiar and loved of all of the Scripture verses. Perhaps you memorized it as a child. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I hear you saying it. Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Tonight, I want to focus in on that verse as the Christmas gospel. Christmas is a marvelous time, a time for giving. It's a time where some are dreaming about getting, but many more probably are thinking about giving. And that's what makes Christmas so awesome. People are thinking about others and what they can give. Generally, generosity rules at Christmas time. As we think about giving, hopefully your Christmas shopping is over. Did you finish your shopping this afternoon? How many are not done yet? I see that hand. Okay. Well, there's always, I believe, they still have the Kmart blue light specials on Christmas Eve. You can still count on that. But anyhow, the best gifts, as I said this morning in my message, I'm picking up on this morning's message, if you were here, talking about the gift of giving and God's indescribable gift to us. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. It says in 2 Corinthians. People say it's the thought that counts, and it sounds like a cliche, but it's really true. Hopefully, the best gifts are an expression of who you are and the relationship you have with another. Something they really want, perhaps even need, probably worth, hopefully worth more than the wrapping paper or the gift bag, although that's often a consolation when I get something in a nice gift. No, never mind. What a great opportunity to be thoughtful. And it is the thought that counts. Hopefully not just sending your secretary or administrative assistant to buy something for your wife, to pick out a scarf or some perfume or the yearly fruitcake, or when all else fails, a tie, right? Actually, I got this tie for Christmas and I rather like it, so I don't want to disparage a Christmas tie. But anyhow, thinking about what you're giving, reflecting on God's great gift for us. The reason for all Christmas giving is in honor of God's greatest gift to us, the gift of His only begotten Son and salvation, eternal life in His name. The essence of Christianity is the heart of Christmas. This is what it's all about, folks. God's great gift to us. And I want to think this evening briefly about three things with regard to God's indescribable gift as we think about John 3:16. First of all, let's consider the giver. The giver, who is God, of course. This verse starts out with, for God. For God. It all starts with God. From creation to salvation, God initiated our salvation. He knew of our problem, and redemption, salvation, is God's idea. Christianity is all about God's work to reconcile us to Himself. Christianity is all about what Christ has done for us. not what we do for ourselves. I hope you hear that. I love to say that. Christianity is best described in four letters, D-O-N-E, what Christ has done. It's finished. There, the birth of a son, all through his life, and death on the cross for our salvation. Our salvation has been purchased. It's finished. It's done. We don't add anything to it. God reached down to us in our need to save us from our sin. We couldn't do it ourselves. God, the giver, did so because He so loved us. God was moved from within Himself with the love that is His nature. It was no obligation, nothing obligatory about this gift. Just like we as parents and grandparents give to our children, we don't sit there on Christmas Eve day and think, well, I don't think he earned that much, we'll set those aside. No, we're not thinking about how much we owe to give. That's not what a gift is about. There's nothing grudgingly given. Nothing given because it was earned or deserved. The Bible says, even while we were yet sinners, God loved us and Christ died for us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has for us, that we should be called the children of God. That's a gift, friends. God loves you. You personally, with an everlasting love, the Bible says. He desires fellowship and friendship with you. He desires intimate connection with you, closeness with you. Just as dearly and deeply as a parent longs to be close to his or her children or grandchildren. Just as dearly and deeply as a wife longs to be close to her husband. God loves and God longs to reconcile us to Him. Consider the giver, who is God. And consider the givee, the recipients of this great gift. God so loved the world. Yes, God so loved the world. The gift so broad and inclusive, extensive, that it includes everyone. Not just the Jews, but the Gentiles. Not just the rich, but the poor. Not just the Methodists, but the Catholics, the Presbyterians, the Lutherans, the Pentecostals. God loves all of us. You can put your name there. For God so loves, fill in the blank. God sent His only Son for you that you might take it personally. So personal is this gift. It's broad enough to include the world, but focused enough to specifically consider you, for God knew you before the foundation of the world, the Bible says, and had you in mind. Jesus, dying there on the cross, thought of you. That's an amazing, mind-blowing thought in the Christmas gospel, that whosoever will believe in His name. Christ died for you personally, even if you were the only one that ever lived and sinned and needed this gift of salvation, Jesus did it for you. Well, consider the giver. Consider the givee, all of us, and consider this great and glorious gift that He gave His only begotten Son. He didn't send an angel this time. He didn't send a prophet this time. He sent His only begotten Son. And this is the marvel of Christmas, the mystery of Christmas, the incarnation. No cheap gift, no insignificant gift. Most precious, God with us. This gift cost God His life in Jesus Christ. As a father, I can't imagine this. The Bible says, for a righteous man, one might consider there to die, but for a good man, possibly, the Bible says, but even while we were yet, we're still sinners. God loved us, and He sent His Son. I might put my life on the line for somebody that I love. I might put myself in harm's way if there came to a life and death situation, but never would I allow my son or daughter, my children, to be in any kind of jeopardy. But God loves you. God loves me so much that He sent His only begotten Son. That's amazing love. So that we might have everlasting life. Do we really need this gift? Absolutely. Is this practical? Is this necessary? Absolutely. The point is, we desperately need the gift of salvation, eternal life. We'd be lost without it. For the Bible says the wages of sin is death. What we deserve because of our sin is judgment, not love, not grace, not eternal life. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, this indescribable gift, is eternal life through Jesus Christ. When we receive His precious gift by faith, we get life, eternal life, abundant life in this life and the life of the world to come, heaven. What an amazing gift that is. Is that automatic? Do you receive this gift automatically in the mail just because it comes to whom it may concern, to the one who lives at your house? No. There's a point at which you need to personally receive that gift by faith. John 1, verse 12 says, to all who did receive Him and believed in His name, He gave the right to become a child of God. Whoever believes and receives the gift by faith. Faith is trusting in God. Trusting in His provision by faith. It's not just merely intellectual assent. Yes, I think there is a God. Yes, I agree with what the creeds say. The Bible says that demons believe and tremble. They know there is a God. They know God's provision for salvation, but they certainly don't put their faith and trust in Jesus in a saving way. It takes a decision on your part. Believe and receive this gift through a prayer of faith. Admit your sin and receive His gracious forgiveness. Have you received this gift? One of the illustrations I love to use at this point about when a gift becomes yours. When I'm talking to kids or teens about that, I say, okay, when does a gift become yours? All right, we're going to illustrate this. You know what? Ryan Turner, come on up here. Ryan has no idea that I'm going to do this. He's about to kill me. He's gotten taller than me, so I'm a little bit nervous. But Ryan, I want to give you a gift. It's a student Bible for teenagers. It's a great Bible, NIV Bible. I want to give you this. Did you pay anything for it?
No.
No. Do you deserve it? Oh, trick question. Just by coming up here, yes, I would. But not really. The reason is just because I like this guy. and he's closest. I mean, is this gift yours?
Yes.
Not yet. When is this gift yours? When you take it. When you receive it. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
God bless you. Whew, that wasn't as hard as we thought. I wish I had Bibles for all of you. God, who is infinitely rich and wealthy, has a gift that He's extending to every single one of you. Not because you've deserved it, not because you've paid for it, but because He loves you. That's what grace is. Will you receive it? Jesus in the Bible is quoted saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and fellowship with him." Tonight, I pray that you, if you haven't already, will invite Christ to come into your heart by faith and receive this gift that changes everything. This is the heart of Christmas. For God so loves the world and you and me that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him might not perish, but have everlasting life. If you want to pray a prayer like that, I want to pray a prayer right now, and you can pray along with me. Make this prayer your own. A prayer of faith to receive this gift. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this good news, this amazing news, that you love us, that you love me. Lord, I know that I've messed up. I know that I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. Come to me now. Come in to my heart and be my Savior. Come and take away my sin that I might be your son, your daughter. I might be your child for all of eternity. Lord, I receive you now by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, please let me know. I'd like to talk to you and pray with you. That's what God's Christmas present for you is. Take your candles. We're going to sing Silent Night. I'm going to invite the ushers to turn the lights down. Remember, dip an unlit candle into a lit candle. I'm going to take the light from the Christ candle and share it with the ushers. But don't drip wax. Hold the lit candle up, like so. And let's sing Silent Night. I'll get them. Let's stand together. Holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yonder child, holy and so tender, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night. Shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts, hallelujah. Christ our Savior and Lord,
Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, silent night, holy wondrous star, when thy light with the angels led us sing, Alleluia to the King, Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born.
And now, go in peace, with the light of life shining in your heart as you trust in Christ our Savior. And go and take that light. Shine that light in a world filled with shadows where it desperately needs to see the way. Share God's love. Shine God's light today. Tomorrow, Merry Christmas. Be blessed. Now and forever. Amen. I'm taking it out. We're going out. Thanks, sir.